Herald of Truth, program number 281.
Early in his teaching, Jesus compared the word of God to seed, which is planted in the hearts of men. Some hearts reject the word as meaningless, but some accept it as vital to life and being. Does the word of God produce the same results in every generation? I'd like to discuss that question with you in a moment.
This is Herald of Truth with your speaker, Batzel Barrett Baxter, chairman of the Department of Bible at David Lipscomb College in Nashville. We continue our January theme on the Restoration Movement with the program, A Man of Fire. Mr. Baxter wants to tell you of an unusual friend who learned New Testament Christianity through Bible reading and study and has dedicated his life to the continuing restoration of Christ's church. And now, here is Batzel Barrett Baxter.
I recently saw an unusual shadow box designed to hang in a kitchen or breakfast room. It was divided into compartments, each of which was filled with seeds of different kinds. The many sizes, shapes, and colors of seeds combined to make a really attractive decoration. With more than just a touch of nostalgia, I looked at those seeds and remembered some boyhood visits to the farm supply stores where, especially in the spring, many kinds of seeds would be offered for sale. The sights and sounds and aromas of such a place are easily remembered. And with equal ease and quickness came the recollection of what the seeds represent, the ongoing of life. It's humbling to think of what a seed portrays, of the promise it holds. Depending on its kind and assuming proper sustenance, it may eventually produce a beautiful and fragrant flower, or a tasty and nourishing fruit, or a majestic tree, or even another human life made in the image of God. Every living thing, from the African violet on your coffee table to the giant redwood tree in the California forest, began with a seed. One day, as Jesus talked with a group of people, in all probability they were farmers, there in his native land, he described how the seed that a farmer scatters would fall into different kinds of soil. The seed which fell on the hard-packed wayside path couldn't be expected to flourish, but that which fell on the well-prepared, good, rich soil could be expected to produce a plentiful harvest. As the people listened to the parable of the sower, as it's called in the scriptures, they knew that Jesus was talking about more than seed and soil and harvest. When the disciples asked that he explain this parable, the Lord began with a marvelous declaration. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. That means, according to Jesus, that what a man becomes depends on whether and how he receives the word of God. Our destiny is determined by the kind of seedbed we make available for God's word. The fact that the word of God is the seed of the kingdom also means that the seed will consistently produce the same fruit. The law of sowing and reaping, as Paul puts it in Galatians 6, verse 7, guarantees that the Word of God will produce the same results in every generation. Jesus gave his apostles one of the greatest challenges imaginable, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when they began to carry out that assignment, we're not surprised to learn that the results were rather remarkable. When the gospel was preached in Jerusalem, and then in Samaria, Caesarea, and Antioch, the results were the same. People believed and turned in obedience to God. Not everyone was converted, of course, because the seed did not always fall on good ground. But when the gospel did fall on receptive ears, the results were always the same. The people became Christians. As we think of the preaching of the gospel of Christ, the planting of the seed, and the salvation that results for those who accept the implanted word, our thoughts almost inevitably go back to God who loved us enough to give us his only begotten Son that we might be saved through him. It is God the Father who's the ultimate source of all our blessings. And it's to this theme that we now turn our thoughts as our chorus sings the great hymn, God is the fountain whence 10,000 blessings flow.
God is the fountain whence 10,000 blessings flow. To give my life, my health and friends and every good I owe. The comforts he affords are neither few nor small. He is the source of fresh delights, my portion and my all. He fills my heart with joy, my lips are true.
I've often thought that because the Bible says that the Word of God is the seed, it ought to be possible to find examples of people who, guided only by the Bible, have become just Christians. And I've rejoiced to know the stories of several people in whom this principle has been impressively at work. I'm thinking of a former priest in Italy, of a policeman in Nigeria, and of some others who've provided a fertile and willing spirit for the Word of God. They've been rewarded by experiencing the wonderful relationship of being in Christ, being Christians. I'm so thrilled by the Word of God and what it's done for others and for me that I'd like to share with you briefly the story of a special friend of mine. I tell you this story with the knowledge that what God's Word has done for others, it can do for you. Juan Antonio Monroy was born 43 years ago in Morocco, in North Africa. His mother was a devoutly religious Spanish lady, but his French father was fanatically atheistic. Until he was 14, Juan was under the influence of his mother and was a regular churchgoer. And then for the next 7 years of his life, he adopted the atheistic ideas of his father. Juan Monroy was 21 when he and a friend attended an evangelistic service conducted by a Cuban preacher. That Friday night, the sermon developed the theme of the love of God, as described in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. As a result of that sermon and the conversation which followed with the preacher that same evening, Juan became painfully aware of the reality of his own sins. He also became gratefully conscious of the existence of God's love, especially that it could be extended even to include a sinner like himself. The next day, Saturday, was spent in Bible reading and study, with attendance at the church service and more study with the preacher that night. And then on Sunday, just 2 days after his first real introduction to the gospel, Juan Monroy became a Christian. He became a Christian because the Word of God, the seed, had been planted in his life. It had germinated, grown, and then produced the desire for him to obey God by being baptized to have his sins washed away. On the Sunday that he was baptized, Juan began to share his spiritual treasure with others. He did it immediately, and from that day until now, he's given a substantial portion of his life to preaching the gospel. As he preached, he continued to develop his other talents and abilities, which were also being used to God's glory. Choosing Spanish citizenship and moving to Madrid, he soon established a reputation for being a fine journalist and author. But his personal spiritual development was also continuing, and he was leading people, including both of his parents, to obey Christ, and was seeing congregations of Christians established regularly. The New York World's Fair provided the opportunity in 1964 for Juan Monroy to make his first visit to the United States. One of his purposes in visiting the World's Fair was to visit the Spanish Pavilion and promote his award-winning book, The Bible in Don Quixote. A more important purpose for visiting the United States was to see if he could find some other people who shared his understanding of New Testament Christianity. When he was in the United States recently on one of his now frequent trips, I asked Juan Monroy, "Before you came to the United States and became acquainted with the Churches of Christ, did you know that there were any other people in the world who professed to be just New Testament Christians?" Well, I knew that Juan had not been acquainted with any other such people, and so I was prepared for a negative reply. I was a bit startled when Juan quickly replied, "Oh, yes, I knew that there had to be people other than myself who were practicing undenominational New Testament Christianity." And then he explained that while he didn't have any specific knowledge about any such people, he remembered the Lord's promise that his word would not return to him void. That's Isaiah 55, verse 11. Whenever and wherever God's word is proclaimed, God makes certain that results are produced. Juan also knew the gospel to be the seed of the kingdom, as we've just been saying. He knew that if the seed had been planted in America or anywhere else, it would have produced New Testament Christians. And therefore he came to the United States confident of finding people who, like himself, could be described as Christians only. When this visitor from Spain saw the sign, "The Churches of Christ salute you," and the scripture reference where the statement is found, Romans 16, verse 16, there at the World's Fair in 1964, he hoped and prayed that he had finally found people like himself. A strong friendship developed between Juan Monroy and T.A. Isaacs, a gospel preacher from New Orleans who was working as a teacher and counselor there at the church's exhibit at the fair. Their initial talks ripened into long hours and days of discussions and Bible study. As Monroy, Isaacs, and other Christians continued to study the Bible and share their respective views, they rejoiced to discover that the seed of the kingdom had produced the same understanding in them all. I've often wondered just how this man, living in Africa and later in Europe, could arrive at the same understanding of New Testament Christianity as that held by his brethren in America, although they didn't even know about each other prior to 1964. And yet this is no real mystery. They arrived at the same place in their religious thinking because they were guided by the same book of instructions, the Bible. Their Christian lives are the fruit of the same seed, the Word of God. Suppose that I should divide a package of flower seeds in half, giving one half to Juan Monroy and keeping the other half for myself. If Juan takes his seeds back to Spain and plants them, while I plant in my yard those which I've kept, will we not each enjoy the same kind of flowers? We share the blessing of being in Christ because we are each the products of the implanted Word of God. And you too can be just a Christian if you'll gladly receive the Word of God and pledge yourself to obey His commandments and go where He leads. Juan Monroy has been so grateful for the privilege of coming to Christ that he's channeled all his energies into going to tell others about the Lord. As he's gone everywhere scattering the precious seed, the harvest has been most rewarding. There are now 19 congregations of the New Testament Church in Spain, worshiping, teaching, and serving as God is taught in the Bible, believing that the gospel must be communicated before it can be believed and obeyed. Monroy has concentrated on teaching masses of people through radio and literature outreaches. His daily radio broadcast, like this program, it's called The Herald of Truth, is heard throughout Spain immediately before the national news each evening. It's impossible to know how many thousands of people are listening, but it is known that an average of 250 letters are received each day. In addition, during this last year, Juan has been able to send out some 30,000 printed New Testaments to people who were hungering for the Word. Now, the letters that come are from many people who are interested in God and His will, and who are seeking information and help with their personal Bible study. As a major part of his work of communicating the gospel, Juan Monroy has produced 30 books. Many of these he's translated into Spanish, but he's personally authored some 12 of them. One of these, entitled Hombres de Fuego, Men of Fire, is a challenge for the church in our time to be filled with evangelistic zeal. It's Juan's belief that God's cause will be advanced only when people are so filled with the Spirit of Christ and the gospel that they must share it with others. Juan Monroy is truly what he asks others to be, a man of fire who works tirelessly for our Lord and Master. I've tried to think of one of our Christian hymns which might portray the central goal of Juan Monroy's life and work. Well, I think there's several which would be appropriate, but none comes closer to the central goal of his life than the familiar hymn, Christ for the World We Sing. Listen as our chorus sings it now.
Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we see, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeem that countless cost from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with one accord, with us the work to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear for Christ our Lord.
There's an Old Testament verse which speaks in the familiar translations about asking for the old paths and walking therein. It's Jeremiah 6, verse 16. The New English Bible translates the same verse in these challenging and contemporary words. Stop at the crossroads, look for the ancient paths, ask, where is the way that leads to what is good? Then take that way, and you will find rest for yourselves. The people of Jeremiah's time refused to follow the ancient paths, and they suffered the consequences. I believe it's time for all of us to ask for the old paths and to follow them to their destination at the side of God. I've talked with you about this man of fire, Juan Monroy, because I believe his story is a real inspiration. I do not know anyone whom I admire more. He's taken the Bible as his only guide, and he's helping people in his own land and around the world realize that we need to go back to God, back to the Christ who is in these Holy Scriptures, and back to the church of the Scriptures. He is truly a 20th century example of the restoration process at work. May I urge you to imitate the example of this man, even as he is imitating others who've been followers of the Lord. The Apostle Paul advised people to imitate him in the extent that he imitated Christ, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. When we all do that, we'll be Christians, because the same gospel, the seed of the kingdom, will produce the same fruit in the life of each one of us. I hope you'll take your Bible sometime soon and read the entire book of Acts. In this book of conversions, you'll find the stories of several people who were converted to Christ. They were all individuals quite different one from another. They lived in different cities, were of different nationalities, different ages, different backgrounds. And yet in all these stories of conversion, there's a strong thread of continuity. All of these converts were introduced to Christianity through the preaching of the gospel, God's power to save, as Romans 1:16 says it. And when the gospel, the seed of the kingdom, was planted in their minds, all these converts believed the good news about God and Christ. They all repented of their sins, confessed their faith in Christ, and then were baptized into Christ, as Galatians 3:27 puts it. When they each obeyed the commands of the gospel, they were added to the church, Acts 2:47, for which Jesus had given his life. How can such divergent people as a Roman army officer named Cornelius, Acts 10, or a public official from Ethiopia, Acts 8, or a merchant woman named Lydia, Acts 16, or a jailkeeper in Philippi, again, Acts 16, or a journalist in Madrid, or a person like yourself, be brought together in Christ? How can this be done? Well, this is possible only when we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth, to borrow the words of the Apostle Peter. Wouldn't you like to be just a Christian? You can be just a Christian, as people have been through nearly 20 centuries, if you'll receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. To that end, may the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
You've been listening to Herald of Truth with your speaker, Batzel Barrett Baxter. Herald of Truth is supported by Churches of Christ and interested individuals around the world, and is a radio production of the Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas. We hope you find interesting our series this month on the Restoration. We would like to hear from many others, like Juan Monroy, or maybe like yourself, who believe it's important to be just New Testament Christians. If you accept the Bible as your only guide in matters of faith and practice, share your feelings with us by writing to Mr. Baxter, Abilene, Texas. During January, in connection with our Restoration theme, we're offering a booklet on the Restoration Principle. You may want to study further the ideas we've discussed on our programs, and we would encourage you to do that by reading this booklet. It will explain in more detail our hope that all believers in Christ will be united through His Word. Send for your free copy of this pamphlet in care of Mr. Baxter, Abilene, Texas. Our program today was A Man of Fire. For your free copy of this program, write to us and ask for program number 281. That's program number 281. The address, once again, is simply Mr. Baxter, Abilene, Texas. When you write, ask to be enrolled in our free Bible correspondence course. Thank you for listening today. This is Tom Holcomb inviting you to hear Batzel Barrett Baxter again next week, speaking on the subject, And the Lord Added. Join us then for Herald of Truth.